This is episode 86 of UFO Encounters. This week I'm reading from Vittorio Pacini and Fernanda Perez's book Incident in Varginha, Space Creatures in the South of Minas. When I have guests on my podcasts, I read their books to work out questions for the episodes. When reading these books, I always find such amazing information that never makes it into the podcast, and here I get a chance to give you a peek into the book. I've put a link to the book in the show notes. I did seek permission to record the extract, and the authors kindly said yes. I'm going to read from a section where the researcher, Ubirajara, meets with the three girls who had a sighting. And this is what they've written. At the first meeting, they told him about the episode with extreme emotion, and at times, the fear still visibly in their eyes persisted. He listened to the whole story and asked them to take him to the site to do a recap, showing him exactly where they were coming from and what they had seen. Once again, there was panic in the eyes of the three girls, accompanied by nervous crying to the point where they couldn't control themselves enough to fear anything more. But the girls became uncomfortable the moment they were asked to approach the wall where the creature was crouching, leaving them with an extremely obvious psychological factor. That Saturday, Katia was cleaning a house in the Jardim Under neighbourhood. As the house was exceptionally large, Lillian and Valquiria, being available, were called by Katia to help her. Once the work was done and they returned on foot, preferably because the Santana neighbourhood, where they live, is next door to the Jardim Under neighbourhood, separated by a large wooded area and its own paved street. They cut a path and avoided following the natural course of the streets, which would take many turns. Exactly where the Jardim Ender neighbourhood is, about three blocks before it ends, there is a steep slope leading up to a large wooded area with some houses under construction. Walking together, they came across a crouching creature next to a wall erected with prefabricated cement bricks, where there is a mechanics workshop. Then came a great fright. First, Lillian saw the creature. She was a little ahead of the other two, who had just stopped to better adjust the plastic bag Valquiria was carrying. With Lillian's scream and running, the two also saw what was not an animal and had no resemblance to any animal that could be named. It wasn't a human being either. The skin was dark brown, slimy, as if it had been greased all over the body, with three frontal protuberances in the cranial box, large red eyes without pupils and sticking out of the face, small mouth and nose, thin legs and arms, thick protruding veins running from the neck to all over the shoulder. It had large feet disproportionate to the rest of its body. Despite Lillian's scream, the creature continued to crouch with its hands between its legs. It only turned its face towards her and didn't move, but that was enough for panic to set in. Although they had only seen it for a moment, they soon began to run, and when they looked at the creature again, it was still crouching in the same way. It was a hot, sunny afternoon, and there was no one else visible around. In their haste, they only spotted people when they had passed the paved road in the woods and the neighbourhood where they live. They arrived at Lillian and Valquiria's house. They found Luisa Helena da Silva, Lillian and Valquiria's mother, who noticed how frightened the three of them were, crying convulsively, their legs and hands trembling, and stuttering as they told her they had seen the devil. This was because it was the only reference they could associate with the thing. A practicing Catholic, Luisa believed in her daughters, believing those strange revelations, in addition to their distressingly nervous state, and determined to put an end to so much agitation on the part of those three girls, she left the house, intending to get a ride in a car to shorten the distance she would have to walk. As luck would have it, a neighbour was passing by at the time. She explained the situation to her, and a moment later she was on the spot. But she saw nothing different. The creature wasn't there. Even so, she found two huge footprints, quite different from ordinary feet, and she couldn't explain herself as to what or who could have done it. And she smelled a strong odour, as if it were ammonia hanging around where the creature had been. At home, however, Luisa was unable to find anything in the chemical cleaning products, detergents, bleach, etc., that could reproduce the same smell. So I'm going to jump to another part of the book. This is where Vittorio Pacaccini has a phone call from someone. This is what he's written. That same afternoon, I received a phone call from Sergio, a friend, telling me that he could introduce me to a military man who was directly involved in capturing the strange being. We would, however, have to meet late at night and on a side road, precisely so that the witness wouldn't be spotted by anyone else unrelated to our interests, and I recorded his statement. On the morning of January 20th, at around 8:30 a.m., an anonymous phone call alerted the 134 company of the fire brigade that a strange animal was in the Jardim Ondear neighbourhood. It wasn't long before a vehicle arrived with four members from the fire brigade, commanded at the time by Major Maciel. They brought the equipment they needed for the purpose, nets, gloves, ropes and others, in case they needed to use them. They walked around the site, and on Rua Sucia, in front of number 3, there is a ravine, and just below it, the railway line runs. After this begins a small area with lots of grass and trees, bordering the Santana neighbourhood. Some adults and children were watching the creature, and some of them threw stones at it, causing it to go down the ravine and into the area with lots of grass and trees. At about 10:30 a.m, they found her. Her eyes were big and red, just like a frog's, but the eyes don't look inwards like our human eyes. The creature's eyes were outwards with no pupil, eyelashes or eyelids. Its mouth was just a small tear and two holes where the nose used to be. It had no ears either, and just three lumps sticking out of the sides and centre of its head. It was a strange creature with large feet disproportionate to its body, which also had no clothes on, and even then we couldn't tell its sex. The creature had a protruding belly, and this protruding belly was the reason for more bad rumours in the city about the pregnant ET. Without making any resistance, she was apparently confused and somewhat tired, only emitting a bee-like buzz. She allowed herself to be caught in a net and carried to the fire department vehicle. However, a little further back, an army truck was parked under the watchful eye of two sergeants and an officer, who may have been a lieutenant or higher, who helped the firefighters to put her alive, still wrapped in the net, into a wooden crate covered by a tarpaulin from the army truck itself, which promptly left for the ESA while the fire truck returned to the barracks. This week I was reading from Vittorio Pacaccini and Fernanda Perez's book Incident in Varginha, Space Creatures in the South of Minas. If you want to buy the book, there is info and a link in the show notes. A great way to support the podcast is to sign up on Patreon. On the Alien UFO Podcast Patreon, when you sign up for $6 a month, you get an extended episode every week. For $3 a month, you get an extended episode every month. If you want to give the extended episodes a try, there is a 7-day free trial. Just go to patreon.com/alienufopodcast. And if you enjoy the podcast, please leave a review and be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or via your favourite podcast app to make sure that you don't miss out on any episodes. And thanks for listening.